Time to catch up with Astro Dave, David Renicki. Check out his website, davidrenicki.com. He joins me right now because, well, there's some big news at the moment. I noticed the US TV shows talking about this new report from the US, 140-plus UFO sightings. What are they saying, Dave?
Yeah, g'day, Bill. Good to be back with you. Yeah. This is interesting, you know, because we've got a smoking gun. We've got the gun. Before it was all hearsay. Now, if somebody would have said to you over the years, do you believe in UFOs? I'm sure you've heard that. And I have so many other times as well as do you believe they landed on the moon? That word, do you believe, really just, it irks me sometimes because it means there are people out there who will really believe anything if it sounds good. But UFO reports over the years have been coming and going, you know, and they're treated with... We're just a long arm. No one's really wanted to go and do anything about it. But the problem has been, where is there a cover up? Have there been? Is there enough evidence to assume that the United States government have been holding these things back?
Well, I reckon they have. The trouble is, too many people now have. There's too much other evidence out there, and you know what? It's been a study that's been around for a long time. I think now most of the population believe that they do exist. So maybe they're demanding some sort of proof now.
Well, the proof is there because the United States government, the Pentagon, have come out and said, yes, these reports are real, and we've got them. Now, this is backed up by their pilots from the aircraft carrier they've got, John Kidd, the Omaha and the Nimitz. These people, these pilots have seen these real objects, but doing manoeuvres, performing aerobatics that we just can't do. And in a lot of cases, they defy our known laws of physics and gravity. They are real objects, hard objects, and the United States government has come out and said that these reports are real.
Yeah.
There's no hiding back or holding back the fact that they're saying, no, they don't exist. They do exist. We know they're there. We've got these reports on radar blips and of course, you know, picked up by video cameras on the planes themselves. The pilots are looking at them.
And when you get shows like 60 Minutes doing stories on them, that lends a whole lot of credibility to those stories. And I noticed the Australian Defence Department is not really saying anything. Are we sort of waiting for a lead from the US or something?
Yeah, I've got one little jump in here that not many other people have got. We were invited down there. Our group many years ago was invited down to Canberra to go through their reports. They just didn't care. And for a long time, they've had a long-standing statement that no system there to record or analyse any objects like that. They just don't want to. They haven't for a long time. They've been passing it over. There's nobody there that's qualified to investigate them. They don't have the people to do it. So the reports just get filed away.
Yeah.
And in 2011, the Sydney Morning Herald in 2011, through the Freedom of Information Act, one of the reporters there got the reply back from the Defence Department, quote, they have, the reports have got to have either gone missing or destroyed.
Yeah, right.
We know that they were just put aside. As our people have been down there and... one of my mates down there, Bill Chalker, who's a world-renowned researcher.
Yeah, I know, Bill.
Was actually allowed to go through those files. We know they've been getting the same sort of reports as the civilian organisations. But as it stands now, with your question, the Pentagon have come out and verified that these objects are real. So we know that there's something out there flying around. We just don't know who's driving.
And the thing is, you need the paper proof. I saw Neil deGrasse Tyson mentioning something on his Twitter account today. He said, you know, here's a message for anyone who gets captured by aliens. Steal some equipment or something off the shelf so you've got some, you know, definite proof.
We don't have anything tangible.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
That's right.
That's the only thing missing. But, you know, we've got 90% of it. And when you've got the most powerful country in the world with a huge military organisation like the Pentagon coming out and saying that these pilots have seen real objects. See, the question came up there, and one of the answers coming back from this report was they could be this, they could be that. There's a lot of could-bes in there.
Mm.
And one of them was that the first thing they looked at, and the most obvious, is it's a new type of technology from a foreign country. Well, my answer to that is, what what was it doing in the 11th century in England when the monks there saw a silver disc moving over the abbey?
Yeah.
What did Francis Chichester see on his voyages there? You know, this is what you've got to end. These reports have been around for a long time. And if you or your listeners want to go and Google this name, Fred Birmingham, you'll see that in Parramatta in 1868, he was a very... well-respected man. He was part of the government. He was a surveyor. And a surveyor was looked upon like a doctor in those years.
Yeah.
In 1868, Fred Birmingham wrote in his reports of seeing an ark, land in the park there, which he went over to. And he said, among other things I could see inside there, were algebraic equations. Now, this is a report from 1868, 40 or 50 years before the Wright brothers ever flew a plane. And he's reporting exactly then what we're getting reports of today. So bang goes the superpower theory. Something's out there. Okay, there's something being seen here. We can't deny the fact that they are there. They're called Tic Tacs. And this is what the pilots said they saw. Streamlined Tic Tac disc-shaped objects that can move and perform maneuvers and aerodynamics that we just can't even conceive of. One of them was seen at the edge of the atmosphere. And I think I mentioned this to you once before. Up at the edge of the atmosphere, picked up on radar, and within a moment, within the time it takes you to blink your eye, it hovered above the water's level.
Wow.
What can do that? That's instantaneous travel. If some technology or some country had this many, many decades ago, why are we still flying around in aeroplanes?
Yeah, well, I think there's technology out there. I think the big governments have access to technology that they just don't want to release to us yet either. But they haven't worked out how to make it fly or to work it with the reverse engineering, or they're probably too scared to realise what's on their hands. I don't know.
Well, that's a good question. We'd probably dig into that some other time. But my answer to that is, if you were out there and you came from somewhere else and you were listening in on what we do here, would you land?
Probably not. We're just a bit too primitive. We're just so caught up in ourselves. I mean, the world at the moment is just so full of, COVID. I'd be staying away from the planet for that reason alone, just the disease factor,
Well, look, the good thing about it is the report has been submitted. It has been answered and it's been published.
Yeah.
And it's now in the public domain and it's there that these things are real. They've admitted they're real.
Oh, there's more to come, Dave. Don't worry about that. This is just the tip of the iceberg, I reckon.
Yeah, we just don't know who built them, anyway. Who's flying them anyway.
Hey, great article here about scientists identifying about 29 planets where aliens could observe the planet Earth. I mean, we've known it's been under observance for centuries, as you've just proven, with all these different accounts from the 10th, 11th century. I think when you went back to the 10th century, the aliens were more intent on communicating with us. I mean, there was a lot of face-to-face visits. As we've got better in technology, that sort of has diminished the face-to-face stuff.
Well, we've got the technology now to pick up planets around other stars. Now, how we do that is we watch the planet move in front of its parent star. And by analysing the light coming through the atmosphere of that planet, we can determine what elements are on there, whether it's carbon dioxide, magnesium, silicon, carbon, name it, oxygen, hydrogen, whether there's any water content there. And also you can even work the temperature out. So by doing that, we can do that from here. There are 29 planets within a close range of us that could do the same for us.
Nice.
So we haven't been picked up by anyone yet, or as well. I mean, we're talking about those UFO reports. There could be something there. But there are 1,700 star systems in our neighbourhood where alien observers could have detected Earth in the same way. But we're way out in the edge of the galaxy. There's not a lot of stars out there. And the possibility of populated worlds is much less than it would be if you're near the centre.
Now, that moves on to this next thing I was going to ask you about. This astronomy professor, what's his name? He actually says, or was given a reason as to why we haven't found aliens as yet. Are we doing something wrong?
What he's working on is a statistical analysis of stars. There are more red dwarf stars in the universe than there are ordinary stars. And we've got an ordinary star. That's what our sun is. We are a planet, populated planet, around a garden variety yellow star. Now, the most common stars in the universe are red dwarfs. They outnumber ordinary stars many times over.
Right.
You would think, being a red dwarf star, being an old star, that there would be civilizations out there that would have been in orbit around those stars. There's so many to pick from, but we haven't found one. In all the time we've looked at, and all the stars we've looked at, we haven't found one with a planetary system in it, or even a planet,
right,
in anywhere close to being where you'd need to have life on it. So what it means is, in a nutshell, because we live on an ordinary garden variety yellow star...
we're just too common.
Well, life has evolved here. It may have been by a giant fluke. So this study is saying because we can't find anyone else out there among all these millions and millions of stars means that we might be a rarity.
Wow. That's probably a privilege in one way, and you sort of, you know, doff your eyelashes and go, well, that makes us really privileged, but we want to be noticed. I think we want people to come and...
Well, we're like the guy, proverbial guy, sitting in the middle of the Pacific Ocean with a palm tree to sit under, and he's been there for 12 months, and he just wondered if there's anyone else around.
That's right.
And he can't see anything. He's been looking all his... Now, all of a sudden, a bottle turns up with a little note in it. G'day. Who sent it? Where from? See, here's a puzzle.
Yeah.
Like we've got now, we've got stars out there we're picking up and we're looking at possible places we can go to and we're looking at the universe in a better way and more with more powerful telescopes.
Yeah.
There's so many questions at the moment.
I know.
But one thing we've got to keep in mind, this is only a relatively new science. Astronomy is the oldest science in the world, but it's also... the newest, if you can understand what I mean.
Yeah. Now, before you go, coming up on the weekend, Richard Branson is about to do something, is he, that's going to make people take notice? What are you laughing about?
This is something I thought he'd do. Look, I remember talking to him and his company in 2008 when they unveiled Spaceship One. He has always wanted to be the first to put paying passengers into space, in a real sense.
Yeah.
A full aircraft full of them. And he's made the statement that he's going to do it. Well, over the years, he's been going to do it every year. But he's a very, very safety-conscious sort of a character. Enter Jeff Bezos. Bezos now has got also the same sort of aims and ideals. Bezos has said he's going to fly a passenger load full of people, including him, on July 20. Now, that happens to be... he didn't say July 20, but I think it'll be July 20, the anniversary of the moon landing. And I think with what Richard Branson's come out and saying now, I know that he doesn't want to be pipped at the post. So I think you'll find, just see how good I can get this, I think you'll find Branson will fly in the next week or two at the outside.
Wow.
He's going to try and get in there first because I know that he wants to be known as the one that's started and kick-started this new business we're going to be all getting involved with, that space tourism.
So watch the news spaces, VSS Unity, and with the world and, of course, a lot of Australia coming to lockdown, I suppose they'll be looking for some sort of new approach or something. So
when you have a look at the vehicle, by the way, on the front there you'll see a picture of a woman, a young woman with a Marilyn Monroe type of pose.
Hello.
That's his mum.
Is it?
His mum, Eve.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does she feel honoured?
That he put that on there in honour of her.
Does she feel honoured about that?
Well, yeah, because she would. Because in her early years, she was, I think it was a performer or something like that.
Yeah, wow.
But he's a very, very family-orientated guy. I think Richard Branson, I hope he gets there before anyone else does. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, more of these stories at davidrenicki.com. Check out that website. By the way, how's the Norfolk Island situation going? Are we, is that an abeyance? You're still taking interest, what, on that?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're now getting outside interest from other travel agents. But what we've done now, Bilko, is we've moved it to December.
Right.
Two reasons. One, we don't have enough lead-up time with what's going on in the world with restrictions. And two, the planets will be up in a better position in that time. So we're doing the Norfolk Island astronomy tours. We're kick-starting Aussie tourism, Aussie space tourism, and we're asking people to come along. Now, if anyone wants any information on it, on my website, we can send you out a little pack that tells you all about it. But there is an information page that you can click on. You go to davidrenicki.com. DavidRenicki.com. In a nutshell, we've got a 7-day fly drive package, telescope viewing, lots of it, solar viewing, indoor presentations, and little tours of the island.
Be a great trip.
Come along. Yeah.
Be an awesome trip. So check that out at the website. Now, linked up now at all our socials. David, till next week.
Talk to you then.